What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Tuesday right here on B&E. Appreciate you doing it today and every day here on the show of the people. A lot to talk about, big conversations. Even some college football coming up. I promise you we're not counting down, but we are 101 days to the start of the college football season. We'll go through some of the top games and over-under win totals. And Texas added a player in the transfer portal, which we'll tell you about here coming up. Also talking some golf at the end of the hour, some baseball with the suspension of Josh Donaldson and the big conversations of our first hour.
It's exactly what I'd say if Tatum came by me. I'd say, who do you think you are, Havlicek?
Jason Tatum?
Yeah, Jason. Hey, Tatum, who do you think you are, Havlicek?
Havlicek stole the ball.
Give Bucky a one-game suspension for that.
Dude, you're going old school. You're going John Havlicek. Wow. Going way back. This is old man radio now, Zay.
I just say, Zay, they put guys in the rafters up in the Celtics.
Kevin Garnett. Yeah, they put him up there, number five. They don't put names, though. It's weird.
No.
Just the numbers. I don't get that, but whatever. They have too many, I guess.
There's a lot up in those rafters.
Yeah. What a history there, without a doubt, with the Boston Celtics. Can they get back to an NBA Finals? They even that series.
Am I cheering that group on anyway? What is wrong with me? I've taken them from the get-go.
Sensitive in your old age. You've lost your edge.
Gosh.
Used to hate the Celtics. You were the guy that used to...
They just played that overall game. I like their game.
I do too. But you were the guy that you remember the late great Dennis Johnson.
Yeah,
you used to chide that guy.
I even told that guy when he's on the radio. I said I used to hate you when you played.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you were no good.
He was coaching the Austin Spurs, Austin Toros,
yes,
at the time, and had a heart attack, passed away here in Austin. But yeah, you used to give it to him every time, like Josh Donaldson.
Boo, 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 DJ, boo, all the freckles, boo.
Boo all the freckles.
I used to boo that dude down, man.
You're just suspended, Josh Donaldson.
Now,
one game.
Here we go. Here we go.
One show.
Sorry about that. You should be suspended for going at Dwayne Haskins' mistress.
Oh, am I supposed to do it my way?
Just throwing that out there. The man's not here anymore. Good grief.
Training, here we come.
I'm going at, why are you standing in the middle of the damn highway?
Well, clearly he was intoxicated.
Yes.
Pretty heavily, and he was out of gas, and not good judgment, not using his best judgment at that moment. Impaired is what that's called, and
it's a damn shame.
It is a damn shame for Dwayne Haskins, just 24 years old. We talked that was the story of the last hour too. Hey, let's get to the other top stories of the morning. Busy Tuesday. Let's get the headlines. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Start with a lot of baseball. Incredible season for Longhorn first baseman Ivan Melendez. Continues, of course. Yesterday, he was named the Big 12's co-player of the week. That's the fifth time this year he's won that award, either outright or now co. That's a record. He slugged his three home runs last week, drove in nine, leading Texas to four victories. His 453-foot bomb on Saturday, the 28th of the season, that tied the school record. Melendez and the 19th-ranked Longhorns will open play in the Big 12 tournament championship tomorrow in Arlington. They're going to face Oklahoma State at 9 a.m. Accolades down in San Marcos as well. 11th-ranked Texas State surging into the Sun Belt Conference Tournament, which begins today. They had a record-setting regular season, went 44-11, have made a strong case to potentially host an NCAA regional at this point. Yesterday, their head coach, Stephen Trout, named the conference's Coach of the Year. Their senior shortstop, Dalton Shuffield, named the Sun Belt Player of the Year. He's the Melendez version of the Bobcats this year. They're going to open play in their conference tournament tomorrow night in Montgomery, Alabama. Texas football news. In need of wide receiver depth, Longhorns yesterday secured the commitment from Iowa State graduate transfer Tariq Milton. The 5'10", 195-pound Florida native boasts speed. He's a 4'3", 40 guy. Battled injuries in his final two seasons at Ames. Nearly 1,600 career receiving yards, seven touchdowns. He is the third addition that Texas wide receiver room via the transfer portal this offseason, joining Wyoming transfer Isaiah Nayer and Alabama transfer Ajay Hall. NBA playoffs last night, another blowout. Boston Celtics walloped Miami in Game 4 of that Eastern Conference Finals, 102-82 to even the series at 2 apiece. Jason Tatum with 31. Celtics built a 29-11 first quarter lead. It was 24 by the half, the lead was. The entire Heat starting five managed just 18 points last night. Not one hit double figures. Baseball last night, Round Rock and the Rangers had the night off. Astros lost to Cleveland in the opener of a three-game series down in Houston, 6-1. Major League Baseball has suspended Yankees third baseman Josh Donaldson for one game for marks he made towards White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson on Saturday. In NFL news, Indianapolis Colts have agreed to terms with veteran quarterback Nick Foles. Two-year deal. He joins a quarterback room that already includes Matt Ryan and fellow former Westlake Chaparral Sam Ehlinger.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Credit the Celtics. Heat were bad last night, though. Heat starters finished with 12 points in the first half.
Wow.
That's the fewest points in a half of a playoff game by a starting lineup since the 76ers back in 2011.
You could have taken your rec crew and gone out there and got more points than that, Zay, against the Celtics. My goodness.
Yeah, I mean, Celtics are 5-0 following a loss this postseason, and Jason Tatum's the big part of that. They lose the game, they bounce back. And, you know, we said it yesterday, say, I don't know who's going to win this series. After watching last night, I still don't know who's going to win this series. I mean, obviously the Celtics, but it kind of felt like the Heat kind of put it on cruise control last night and ran into a very desperate Celtics team looking to bounce back after the Game 3 loss.
They go back to the Heat? They go back to Miami now?
Yeah, they go to Miami. You know, it's a 1-1-1 now. I still don't know who I'd put my money on in this series.
I think the team that's the most durable at this point, and that seems like it's the Celtics. I know Robert Williams, their center, is a little banged up right now, but he's not one of the main players on the Celtics. If you look at the Heat, Jimmy Butler, he has that knee issue that he had to go out in Game 3. He had, Tyler Hero, sixth man of the year, he didn't play last night.
How is Tyler Hero doing throughout the series itself, though? How has he been? Has he just been okay?
He's been okay.
And when he's been in?
He's been okay, but he's just such a threat and causes so much attention defensively. He allows guys like Strus and P.J. Tucker to get open looks because he's so good with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, and P.J. did nothing last night.
No. He was just out there getting good cardio in. So, like the rest of them.
That's what they all look like.
Yeah, just getting good cardio in, good workout, making that heart rate go up a little bit, but that's about it. So,
and for the Mavs, they're just playing out the string. It's just a matter of time.
Oh, yeah, them bags are packed. Everybody's vacation is booked. Luka's going back to Europe.
Wow,
Jay Kidd might go back to see the fam at the Bay, which, you know, he's already in the Bay, basically, when they're going to play the Warriors.
Yeah.
But go back and see the fam. Yeah, they threw in the towel last night.
Yeah, I was disappointed in Jason Kidd's whole thing. I know, I mean, it's nice to be real, but I can't talk about how, you know, you weren't expecting us to be here. That whole talk by a coach right there is like, okay, they didn't give him Coach of the Year, did they? He ain't getting Coach of the Year for that.
Who?
Jason Kidd with the whole, you know, you guys didn't expect us to be here anyway. Okay, come on now.
Well, that was,
that's remember, like, quit your whining.
Coach of the Year is a regular season award. The votes for that are already in.
Well, I'm just saying, if he is, take it away.
Why?
Because I don't want that whining about, you didn't expect us, talking to the press, I'm a, you guys shouldn't be working right now. You didn't expect us to be here. Quit your whining. You didn't expect us to be here. Thank you, Coach.
I'm good with that after you get swept. No. After Game 3, that doesn't sound too good.
Yes, no. There's still a game tonight, and the Mavericks
because it's for real favorite. After you get swept. It really is for real then. I don't want my coach talking about, we weren't supposed to be here. Really? Thank you.
Regular
season awards that next year when I start
not yet been handed out in the NBA.
Yeah.
But that is tonight in Dallas. The Mavericks are 1-point favorite, according to the odds makers. We'll see if they can stave it off and send it back to Sam.
Zay,
San
I'm
Francisco.
Saying they're going to get one. They're getting one.
Even though he's
got that attitude.
Hey,
Luka's coming down with about 60 tonight. Yes.
60?
Yeah.
Dang. Pints?
No, not 60 pints. No.
I'm just kidding.
He's putting up 60 tonight.
We'll see.
If he puts up 60, they got to win
somehow. As a sports fan, and I just want to see a good game. I mean, you turn these games on, you just want to see good one. Now, the Celtics Heat game on Saturday, that turned into a really good game. It was a blowout to start with the Heat, but turned into a pretty scintillating fourth quarter, which was fun. Last night was not that at all. So we've got hoops, we've got football. It's time to dive into our coach's corner just ahead of 7:15. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. That's Tom McKay and his great crew at avconsultations.com. Always getting it done for you, and gave away that big 85-inch flat screen out at the Mullet Open last weekend. Get Tom in there to hook up that media room, that Sonos system. You want the music cranking through your house.
Yeah, and you don't want to put that thing up yourself. You need to call Tom to put that up, or you're going to have there's going to be some holes in the wall.
You'll do it wrong.
In that drywall.
Hang it crooked, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's Tom McKay and his team. They're the best. They do all the sports bars and restaurants around town. They certainly can make your sports watching room and house look amazing with what they do. All right, Buck, from our coach's corner perspective, we've got the Longhorns adding a transfer portal receiver. We know they were all in on Jordan Addison. They went after a great player, and Jordan Addison is that. The Biletnikoff winning wide receiver, best receiver in the country last year. Longhorns were in the final two.
Not even his former coach could get him here.
Yeah, Brennan Marion, the wide receivers coach now, he is going to go to USC. So the Longhorns have pivoted. We knew they were searching the portal for wide receiver depth. Steve Sarkisian's been open about that wide receiver and linebacker are critical to add depth pieces to be able to get enough bodies in there. So it is Tariq Milton, the Big 12 fan.
Did he not jump onto the scene as a freshman at Iowa State?
Freshman and sophomore. He was really, really good at Iowa State. Speedster from the state of Florida. And, as we said in the update, injuries plagued him his final two seasons there. But if healthy, he's can be a productive player.
Mm-hmm.
This is a depth move for Texas and an opportunity for Tariq Milton. His speed is his game. I mean, he's 5'10", he's 195 right. pounds, but he can really run. Been clocked in the sub 4.4 in 40-yard dashes in the past. But he's got to be injured, got to be healthy, and that's what concerns you about that whole room, right? Jordan Whittington, there's been an addendum to his name. Jordan Whittington is now Jordan Whittington if healthy. Whittington, right? Even he is hoping that he can play a full schedule. And
tough to build your world around him.
And, Xavier Worthy played all the games last year and was great. Isaiah Nayor looks like a big, sturdy wide receiver they brought in from Wyoming. And it's pretty obvious that Steve Sarkisian, when he got here, was not real happy with the wide receivers that the previous staff had recruited as far as his type of receiver, what he's looking for in an offense, what he's looking for in a player. And, they've had, four or five guys transfer out, including Joshua Moore and Kelvonte Dixon and the list goes on of guys who have transferred out, and they've replaced them with three different transfer portal players. And the one thing that all three of the guys that have come in have, Buck, is speed.
Yes.
I mean, we know Ajay Hall from Alabama is one of the fastest receivers in the country coming out, same year as Xavier Worthy. Tariq Milton is a speed receiver. And as we've heard, Isaiah Nayor from Wyoming, one thing he kept hearing from the Texas coaches through the spring was he's faster than you'd expect. He's got some jump to him. And even though he's 6'3", and the highlights would show you high catch radius and high pointing the ball. And,
yeah, they all seem to be catch and run guys, not catch and fall guys.
Well, that's the offense, right? The offense is an RPO thing. They want to run the football with Bijan Robinson in that running back room. They want to establish the run, and then it's play action, right? And hitting receivers in stride on those little slant routes or the go routes. I mean, you're right. I mean, Tom Herman's offense. All too often, the receivers caught the ball flat-footed, right? They'd catch the ball at a dead stop. Steve Sarkisian wants his guys in full speed when they catch the ball. They need to be moving because it's catch and run. That's what the offense is built around. So, all you do is go back and watch his Alabama offenses. Now, he had elite receivers there. But, man, how many times did you see a guy catch a ball in full sprint and race through the defense? I mean, that's obviously what he's looking to build here. And these guys all can do that. And we saw it with Xavier Worthy.
Oh, no, that room is already upgraded from the dudes that left here to the dudes that are here. I don't care where you got them from. It looks like they know the fundamentals of being a wide receiver, like catch the ball first.
Catch it and then run.
Yeah.
But catch it while running helps.
Catch it while running, yes.
I like that. But that was Tariq Milton is the latest addition. We'll see if there are any more because Sark has also signaled out linebacker as a position of need when it comes to depth and players. And, the Memorial Day is this coming weekend, and the summer workouts begin right after that. They're coming back.
I mean, this head coach and his staff, they understand where they're about to step into maybe after this year. A different world. I mean, And they're stepping into a world. Yeah, and I'd like for them to win the Big 12 on the way out, that I believe. And they should be in the thick of things because 5-7 won't cut it again. I mean, 7 wins will barely cut it.
Yes.
7 wins will give you a third year. But you come back here, roll in here 6-whatever or 5-whatever, and people are I mean, those in charge are going to have pressure on them then.
Well, and I think this coaching staff and this coach is aware of that.
Because you roll into the next league and you're 5-7 or 6-6. Let me tell you, you're totally into a different world. I don't care how your recruiting looks and how your offensive line is starting to get to. You can't roll into the SEC. I mean, you'll have problems with Mississippi State, much less Alabama, Georgia, and the likes. You know what I mean?
For
LSU's
sure.
of the world.
For sure. Obviously,
Arkansas.
This offseason was about improvement, right? At the coaching staff level, at the talent level, and we'll get to see it for the first
time. But we can't
be
disappointed even in year two, E. When you start talking about numbers of wins in a conference that just lost the key coach, and that was Lincoln Riley, who's gone off, and Oklahoma will still have talent. That's just Oklahoma.
Well, I was looking at this from betonline.com. I'm a BetUS guy.
Let me use
my BetUS. But BetOnline has put out its over-under win total wagers you can make out of the Big 12. They have Texas, and what you just said is right. The folks in Vegas have Texas in the thick of the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
They believe they should be, because right now at BetOnline, the over-under win total bet for Texas is over-under 8.5, which is also the over-under win total for Oklahoma, and it's also the over-under win total for Oklahoma State. Those are the top three. They're all at 8.5 wins. That's where Vegas looks at the power structure and says those are your top three. Baylor is also at 8.5, so they're right there. There are four teams. There is no clear-cut favorite.
Damn, I got to believe that Baylor will take a step back with some, you know, they with the group that they had on defense. I know they got their culture built, but culture and players are two different things. I mean, that's a lot of guys that just took off to the NFL. I don't care what round they were drafted in, they're going to play at the next level of football, and they lose some really good ones on defense.
Terrell Bernard, Jalen Petrie.
Lose a wide receiver, don't they?
They went
in the draft.
It's fair to say that Dave Aranda came in. He had a bad first year. COVID was any coach that.
But
took
the culture
over
it, was already built there.
Right. It was tough for any coach coming in during COVID. I mean, that was a challenge.
Yes.
You know, first year coach during that was, you know, how do you build relationships with your team,
mm-hmm.
all that. And Dave Aranda's first year, they struggled. And their offense was dreadful year one. This is where you give Dave Aranda a ton of credit. He went out and hired a new offensive coordinator, went to BYU. And, brought in the new offensive coordinator. They changed the offense. Offense was better. Defense was improved, but built around those veterans you're talking about.
Yes.
And they won the Big 12, and credit. But they lose a lot of those key guys. And, you know, those were guys recruited by Matt Rhule. Those were foundational guys that Matt Rhule had brought in to when he was building that program in 3 years and then off to the NFL. So you're right. Is there some natural regression? Becomes the question for Dave Aranda. Was last year the high water mark, and you know, he's still going to be a real good coach, and Baylor's
right,
going to be a really good program.
And they're going to be in your rear end for four
right,
quarters of
games. And that's
where
we're talking about
this
particular season.
Yes.
Do you see a little slide even from the defensive side of the ball for Baylor?
I believe so.
And you know, so that brings them back. 8.5 is their over under win. Same with Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. There's got to be a natural to me regression there if. You know, Dylan Gabriel's a good player. Looks like Brett Venables is going to be a really good coach.
But you got a whole different. You got a new offensive coordinator in there.
New coordinators, new everything there.
It's just, that's just tough to me. I mean, that's why Texas has. I mean, if you're expecting to, if you're both Oklahoma, you're going to have to be rebuilding a bunch of things. But for Texas, if you're going on to the next step, if you're not in the thick of things in the Big 12, you're going to get your ass wiped all over the place when you go to the SEC. If you don't move up in year number two, even in the Big 12. I don't think in year number one you're going to walk in and then tell me about all these offensive linemen. Now they've had a couple years under your belt and walk into that conference and then all of a sudden expect to be winning 9-10 games. I don't believe that's going to happen. You have to make hay this year in the Big 12, E.
Agreed. And get yourself set up for
and
that.
And what is hay?
I think nine wins? Right what Vegas is saying. For me, are they in the mix to play in the Big 12 title game in November?
Yeah, to me, if you win eight games, you've bought yourself – a little less pressure going into the Big 12. I mean, going into the SEC. But there's still going to be pressure in there because you're not quite it if you only win eight. You win 9 or 10 games now. Now I'm starting to really think, okay, now some of these freshmen and some of these wide receivers and whoever you choose at quarterback is going to help you win some games. But if you stay you know, just kind of treading water in this conference, good luck the following year. If you do, if next year is that year, the year after is that year, good luck walking into that conference thinking you're all of a sudden going to win 8, 9, 10 games.
Well, I mean, got to get there first, and this year is this year.
Absolutely.
I think they absolutely can be in the mix, and I think the over-under is right where it should be. Can Texas go over that? Can they win 9 games? Can they go 9-3?
They should.
And be in the mix.
Obviously, I believe.
Obviously, they'll be a heavy underdog to Alabama.
I know you got veteran coaches in this conference like Mike Gundy, but all you got to do is get him in a big TV game. He's going to lose.
Alabama, by the way, who you play week two, their over-under is 10.5. 10.5 a win.
Well, that's every year, no matter what their deal is, I got to believe.
And I was looking at this. The best games for the college football year is we're now just over 100 days to the start of the college football season. We're not counting, I promise. Is it indeed the most anticipated game of 2022, Texas A&M and Alabama now, based on what went on this past week? Is it fair to say that's the most anticipated contest of the year? Texas A&M, Alabama,
in
Tuscaloosa.
With the world, I still think it's going to be
Ohio. In Austin, they're all going to be whatever the Longhorn game
is. To me, in the college football period, I would think it's still that Michigan-Ohio State game after what happened last year.
Yeah, well, that with Jim Harbaugh finally winning it, right?
That's what I mean, yeah.
Ohio State.
Is that the way that's going to start to turn?
Well, that's every year, too. And obviously last year when they were both top 1-2 teams in the country.
Those are some good games. Those top five right there look pretty good. I don't know about the...
Well, you can rank them. This is a list that I pulled. The 10 best games on the schedule, just big picture, 100 days out of the college football season. It says here, number one, Texas A&M, Alabama on October the 8th. That is also the day that Texas plays Oklahoma, which is also on this list ranked fifth as the fifth most anticipated game with the debut of Brett Venables in that Red River rivalry game. Obviously, Steve Sarkisian in his second.
Yeah, that will tell you who's going to be in the Big 12 championship game
could.
Yes.
The second game of the best 10 games of the college football season, Alabama-Texas, here in Austin, September the 10th. Will that be a great game becomes the question, or will that be a one-sided contest? But that's number two on this list, which was put together by...
That's just a good historical power game there.
Also, how about this? How about Notre Dame and Ohio State? To start the season in Columbus, Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman taking over for Brian Kelly. Of course, he took over and led them to a bowl game in the bowl game last year and is getting rave reviews so far at South Bend. They play at Ohio State on week one. It's a highlighted game, week one in Columbus. Also on this list, how about Oregon and Georgia?
Where's that game at? Is that in Georgia?
I'm going to guess Oregon, Georgia.
Is that a neutral deal?
It's a neutral site game. But, you know, Oregon, Georgia. Oregon's got a new coach. Georgia obviously won the national championship. Let me see if that's a neutral. Oregon, Georgia, they will play.
That's early.
Yeah, it's the Chick-fil-A kickoff game.
Okay.
It's the kickoff game. So, yeah, that's neutral site. But also on this list, USC, Utah, Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Bedlam, Clemson and North Carolina State.
Yeah, North Carolina State
Utah
is the scary team that's going to be pretty good.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I haven't looked into them so far.
They will be pretty good this year.
So looking forward to college football season. And that's, it says right there, Texas A&M, Alabama, the most anticipated game. Texas and Alabama, number two on the list in college football games.
Yeah, I mean, if A&M can find a way to beat Alabama, now they're, you know, that seems to be, A&M wants to make that a rivalry now. I mean, it's a coach's rivalry, but is it really a rivalry? No, not really, because the numbers will show that, hell no, it's not.
Well, they beat them last year.
Yes.
So they're on a one-game winning streak.
That's right.
And Alabama will come in here. Well, they'll have a game before they play Texas, but they lost the last game they played, that Alabama, in that national championship game. We'll be back, B&E, with you, little college football chatter. We'll get back to the baseball Longhorns opening play in the Big 12 tournament tomorrow. How big is that game with the Oklahoma State Cowboys? Could be, I think, pretty pivotal as far as the big picture of things go. We'll talk about why. Also, the hot or not topics for the end of the hour. It's B&E with you. Getting you into your Tuesday here on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you on this Tuesday morning ahead of the Big 12 baseball tournament, which starts tomorrow. And remember, tomorrow here on the show, we'll wrap it up about 8:40 and send it off to Arlington with Craig Way and Roger Wallace for the call of Game 1 for the Longhorns. Early morning, Texas and Oklahoma State. And a quick glance of the RPI ratings, the ratings percentage index, which, you know, that along with your overall resume, go to the seeding process for college baseball's tournament. Oklahoma State is currently the highest ranked Big 12 team in those RPI ratings, even though they finished fourth in the conference, but they really were tied for second. But the tiebreakers dropped them to four, so they're the four seed. But they're ranked 18th, Oklahoma State, in the RPI. Texas is right behind them at 21 right now, three spots back. Texas A&M is at 22, right behind Texas, if you're looking at that. So that's why I say I think tomorrow's game could be pretty important to Texas. I mean, if they could, because I do think, based on most projections that I've looked at, the D1 baseball rankings, and there are others out there that, you know, they look at the seeding a week away and say, you know, TCU is probably going to host. Even though TCU, when you look at the RPI, is you know, ranked down at 34 in the RPI. But they won the Big 12. They went 16-8 in the conference. They win the Big 12. They're the one seed at the tournament starting tomorrow. Most people look at that Fort Worth and say they're going to probably host a regional. But again, they're pretty far down on the RPI, but probably lock one in. A&M likely to host after their season in the SEC. And then it's, you know, Texas, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State. I know we even know Texas State is trying to push for one, and why wouldn't they with a 44-11 season and a conference championship, and they open their play in the Sun Belt Conference tournament coming up tomorrow night as well. And Texas State is currently 26th in the RPI. Think about that. Texas State is ranked higher in the RPI than even TCU. Or Oklahoma in that ranking right now with what they've done. So a couple more wins, Texas State can put themselves in a spot. So my point would be the Oklahoma State game tomorrow could be pretty critical if Texas can find a way to beat the Cowboys for the first time this year, because remember the Cowboys came in here and swept the Longhorns in that three-game series here in Austin. And, you know, Longhorns coughed up that game on Sunday to get swept. They were up 7-0 in that game, end up losing it. That one really, really costly to them, big picture. But we'll see. Can they turn that? They've won 8 of 9 headed into this tournament. They've got the potential national player of the year in Ivan Melendez, who is one home run away from breaking the all-time record for the program. Pretty good stuff. And you asked me yesterday, Buck, about the Texas baseball team and the all-time program record for home runs.
Mm-hmm. That's gone, isn't it?
Oh, they've shattered it. You realize if you eliminate Ivan Melendez's home runs from the equation, the 28,
they still got it.
Still would be the record for the program. That's how much power this team has put forth this year, because it's not just Ivan. I mean, you got double digit home runs from obviously Murph Staley and Trey Faltini and Skylar Messenger. I mean, this is a really powerful lineup, and it added Eric Kennedy back into that lineup last week, and you saw the impact he made. So they can play offense with anybody in the country. The question is, can they pitch and get key outs and key spots? That's going to become the question starting tomorrow. In Arlington, and we'll get a full preview. But pretty big game. Pretty big game for the Longhorns, I think, because Oklahoma State is kind of, you know, I don't want to say limped in. They did win the series with Baylor to wrap up the regular season, but they got swept by Texas Tech the series before, and they come in as the four seed, Longhorns the five. And again, if you look at the RPI, it's all very close.
You know what? Very close. You know what I'm happy about, E? I've got you on the football Kool-Aid, and I know I got you at least looking in the cabinet for the package. That guy over there, Zay, that Zay character over there, he's not even looking for the package yet of that Kool-Aid.
I think Zay's a lot like most realistic Longhorn fans. It's been 10 years.
What do you mean, realistic Longhorn fans, really? There are some still out there that they're going to wait to show me?
I think
I'm not. I'm drinking Kool-Aid this year.
Well, I mean, look, I agree with Vegas. I think they have which typically Vegas is on these things. I think there is it's anybody's race in the Big 12. There isn't a heavy favorite. Baylor is the defending champion, so you know what? You put them in there. Oklahoma has been the most consistent program in the conference for the last decade, so they're going to be there. Oklahoma State has been the most consistent program under Mike Gundy. And the question mark is Texas. Can they rise up?
The question mark is you can't be losing to the TCUs and the Texas Techs of the world.
Right, and that becomes the question for Steve Sarkisian and this coaching staff. Can they coach Texas to their talent level? Can they overcome some holes, which they still have? But they have plenty of talent.
I mean, you are watching Quinn throw them bombs, right?
I mean,
Zay, or you are?
Yeah, I'm watching. Look, if Jordan Addison would have committed, I would have treated the Kool-Aid like wine, taking the swig to the round, spit it back out.
You weren't even taking it down. You would spit it back out.
Absolutely not.
Even with him coming?
Yeah. Now that he's not here, I'm not even taking the sip. Still.
Wow.
Still steps to take, but can you be in the mix with the other?
No, I'm gonna wear the wheels off that Lamborghini. It's gonna be like a pit stop. You're gonna have to make with me with that guy.
Yeah, well, you got the best running back in the country, and you know I know Sark has used the word, and I keep using it the critical month that's coming, I don't know if you think it'll be overstated how important the month of June is. Because of the rules change where coaches can be on the field with players this summer, Kyle Flood's work with this offensive line and these offensive linemen, Texas could barely run a spring game because they were so limited in numbers on their offensive line through the spring. Because
that's been like the last 5 years, isn't it? Almost their offensive line is needed.
Yes. And this year in particular, because of graduation and, they only had one freshman early enrollee and some injuries, their numbers on the offensive line were very low through the spring. You're about to have seven new offensive linemen roll in here this summer. And, can you get with them and work with them and have them ready to contribute immediately when the season begins? That's going to be big because you're talking about five-star players in Devon Campbell. You're talking about Kelvin Banks. You're talking about really high-end recruits, but they are freshmen. And they just graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you expect? Because that's, to me, that becomes the question mark. I think a Steve Sarkisian team is usually going to have good quarterback play. Casey Thompson was your quarterback last year, and he was good and bad, right? He had some really great games, and he had some really, really rough games. But I think the quarterback play should be improved in year two. I think the skill players that Texas has are the best in the Big 12. I don't think anybody can match the running back room, the receiver room that Texas has right now with talent. But it's going to come down to that offensive line. And can they hold up? If they can, Texas has a chance to be the best offense in the conference. If they don't, they're going to be a hit-and-miss offense. They're going to create some big plays, but they're also going to give up a lot of negative plays, and that leads to turnovers. That becomes the question for me with Texas. The defense obviously has a lot of questions to answer.
They're going to just be average on defense, and that's okay. Because what they've been is, not average.
Terrible.
Yeah, you're right.
Terrible. Look, for Longhorn fans, you know this. If this year, because of depth and improvement, they can finish games, in a 5-7 season, you finish some games. That's 8 wins last year. If you just close games, you're leading in the fourth quarter. But that's a massive if. That's a massive if. We need to see the improvement at all levels. But if they do, and this offseason has been as successful as it appears it has, and you follow that up with a solid summer into your fall camp, the Longhorns absolutely should be in the mix with those favorites in the Big 12 conference. So if that's drinking Kool-Aid, then I'm having a little sip of the Kool-Aid.
There you go, Zay. Come on, Zay.
But I'm not picking them to go double-digit wins and play for huge, but can they be in the mix to be in the Big 12 title game when November rolls around?
They should.
Then that's the Kool-Aid.
I'm not saying they should. They can be. They have enough talent to do that.
That is the Kool-Aid that I am drinking right there, my friend.
He's drinking Tang, Zay. I'm drinking the real Kool-Aid. I'm going to pour. That's right.
Tang. I liked Tang when I was a kid.
I did too. Tang was good. Absolutely. Hey, the astronauts drank Tang, so I could too. Right? Didn't the astronauts drink Tang?
Sure. Sure. Absolutely, my friend.
But I was a sugar adding son of a gun when I was a kid to the regular old Kool-Aid.
You took Kool-Aid and put more sugar in it?
Put more? Of course I did. Yes.
Oh.
Could you get enough sugar in there, Zay?
Oh, you needed to have that sugar on deck.
Man.
Can't just have the normal packet. Come on now.
And one that was already sweetened, that was nasty. I just took the plain stuff. My mom tried to go back to that direction of, it's already sweetened. I'm like, well, start getting a package, Mom, that has no sweetener in it, because I'll sweeten it myself.
Speaking of you two guys and your little, as they would call them, racially charged quips that you make about
Zay and
Kool-Aid.
I need a day off. See, I'm going to have to have a day off talking about Kool-Aid.
Where are you guys on this? Turns out Walmart, Walmart?
Yes.
Store?
Absolutely.
Get way in on this, Zay. They had to apologize for a flavor of ice cream that they were selling called Juneteenth ice cream. Juneteenth ice cream. It was the actual flavor was red velvet cheesecake, but the label said Juneteenth ice cream. There was some blowback, so they had to take it off the shelf.
I understand that one. Why would you even do that? Just have that.
That sound good?
If it's nasty, it's racist. If it's good, I'm with it.
If it's nasty, okay.
You're making your stand right now.
There it is.
There you go. Say's making his stand.
You too, man.
If it's good, there you go.
It's good, then. It's real good. Okay, so coming up, we'll get into the hot or not topics. Also, one thing that, obviously last week's top story was Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, right? The WWE
two
style
babies
going at it. But one thing that's interesting, if you go look at...
Snitch.
If you go... I know this is... the clips were amazing. Nick Saban's saying A&M bought all their players, and obviously the response and retort. Jimbo Fisher, by the way, is still talking because he was in San Antonio for an appearance this week and is still talking about he doesn't know anything about these collectives and what goes on and that kind of stuff. But in Nick Saban's comments that night, last Thursday night, Wednesday night, which led to Thursday's comments, I think there's more to what he said that I think should be discussed more. Because everybody wanted to talk about what he said about Jimbo and said about Deion Sanders, but his full comments were interesting. I think we'll get into those coming up because it's where college football, his overall opinion and thoughts were not wrong about where we're headed if we're not careful, and we'll get into some of that coming up, a little deeper dive onto what Nick Saban had to say. And we know Nick Saban will be bringing his Alabama Crimson Tide to Austin. What do we have that there, Buck? 108 days from today? 108 for 101 to the La Monroe game.
Yeah, and
108 days out until Nick Saban, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Bryce Young, maybe the best defensive player in the country, Will Anderson, will be rolling in here for a showdown.
I'd like to be a freshman with that guy lining up over you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing, right?
I don't care what star you are. How would you like to have that dude standing over you in game two?
Yeah, well, and it's why there are still people that I've talked to who think Hudson Card could start the season at quarterback, because do you really want a freshman quarterback with that offensive line in those first couple of games, or does Hudson Card give you some veteran experience, ability to move the pocket a little bit, and those kind of things? We'll see. A lot to be determined between now and then, but that's where we are.
Just put that right in the hands of the guy who's coached quarterbacks.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
right. That's all you can
do. It is all you can do. We'll come back when we do. Zay Collier and the Juneteenth ice cream will lead us through some hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through this Tuesday edition, talking all things Texas baseball, a little Texas football in there. Having fun with you on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and always at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot not on a Tuesday. Hot would be Ivan Melendez. Congrats to the Hispanic Titanic. His fifth time he's been named the Big 12 Conference Player of the Week. He's the co-player this time around. He had to share it, but still had another great week with three home runs, nine RBIs, finishes at .421 as a batting average for the season. Also, congrats down at San Marcos, Dalton Shuffield. We talked about him all year, their senior shortstop. He was named the Sun Belt Conference Player of the Year yesterday. All he did was bat .393 this year, got 12 home runs, a great OPS, Gold Glove caliber shortstop too, and the leader of that Texas State team that's won 44 ball games. Props to both. And congrats to Coach Steve Trout, who was named the Skipper of the Year, Coach of the Year in that conference, and why not? What a regular season.
44 games.
You know, only lost 11. Lost one series all year in conference play and didn't lose a single game on the road in Sun Belt play. They're going to open up play in the Sun Belt tournament tomorrow. Tomorrow night, they'll play the winner of a game that's played today between a couple lower seeds. Longhorns play tomorrow at 9 a.m. And Ivan Melendez's next home run will be his record-setting 29th home run. So, looking forward to that. Also, on the not hot side, we mentioned it earlier, but details surrounding the tragic death of Dwayne Haskins, the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, in the final hours were released by Broward County medical examiners yesterday. And as many feared, he was impaired at the time of his death. He was actually three times the legal limit intoxicated, 0.20 on one and 0.24 on another. Female companion who was with him in the police report says that they had run out of gas. He was going to find fuel and was standing in the middle of the highway, sounds like in the turn lane maybe, but, and obviously was hit by a dump truck and was killed instantly. So, sad story for sure, but still tragic at 24 years old.
Josh.
Terrible, terrible. And I'm also not hot, as we said earlier, on this Josh Donaldson one-game suspension. I think he was making a quip. I think he was cracking wise, as baseball players and athletes will do to other athletes. I don't think there was a malicious intent for that. I think Tim Anderson, whether he forgot or doesn't remember calling himself the modern Jackie Robinson back in an interview with Sports Illustrated in 2019, he did say that.
That interview.
Yes. And that was the reference that Josh Donaldson was making. And I don't think it warrants a one-game suspension, even if it led to the tantrums of the weekend. But that's just my opinion. I think you agree. Zay, where are you on Josh Donaldson?
It was weak. I mean, I remember when Carmelo Anthony got mad at Kevin Garnett for saying his wife tasted like Honey Nut Cheerios. I think that's way worse.
Whoa, he said that?
You remember that?
No.
Oh, yeah, back in the Celtics-Knicks days, yeah. Carmelo was waiting for KG outside of Madison Square Garden.
He said his wife tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios?
Which his wife is a pretty popular woman, Lala Anthony.
I mean,
they're not together anymore. I think she's with somebody else. They're divorced. But yes, when they were currently together, yeah, KG said wife tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios in the heat of battle. Carmelo Anthony took offense to that, and it was a big problem. So
okay, those are fighting words.
That's what I'm saying.
That's fighting right there at that moment.
Well,
I think that's not going to the press. Just punching him. That's just me coming up beside him and punching him in the side of his
head. Remove the Honey Nut Cheerios. The start of the sentence is the problem. Your wife tastes like.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anything that follows that is fighting
not
words.
Good. That's right. None of that is going to work at all, ever. My goodness.
And this guy gets suspended for calling him Jackie?
Well, he said he was. He said, I'm going to change the game. I need to change the game. I need to change the game like Jackie Robinson did. You have never been called near the things that Jackie Robinson was called on a baseball field.
And I guess that's the
It's like me, because I do charitable work, calling myself Bucky Mother Teresa Godbolt.
I'm okay? calling you Teresa.
Don't.
Or Mother.
No.
We do call you Mother something
yeah,
else sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes,
yes. But again, if you're going to start suspending dudes for making wisecracks, man. Zay, you go to the playground. Who's ever going to get? You're going to be spending everybody.
I know what Zay did over there at the rec center with those five, six guys. Oh, five,
I used
seven
to dominate years. Gregory when I went over there for pickup.
Well, I know you
Absolutely.
Did.
Absolutely.
Throw down. All right. What else do we have, Zay, in our hot or not topics this morning? What have we missed?
All right, fellas. Well, before I get started, shout out to my wife. It's her birthday, so happy birthday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mrs. Collier. I will be at her class later today, her fourth grade class, surprising the class with pizza today. So, take notes, please. When I'm doing that.
Hey,
here,
do not bring that class any Kool-Aid. Do not pick up a bag of ice and go over
see,
there.
See, why you got to go what? There?
I didn't even, serious.
God.
Those kids, they don't do that anymore. They don't drink Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
They get
in
trouble for that.
Yeah, pizza's enough.
Yes.
So, yeah, shout out to her. But anyway, hot or not topic today, hot or not Hall of Famer, fellas, Aaron Rodgers back in the headlines for the wrong reasons.
No.
Because he missed his brother's wedding.
What?
Missed the brother's wedding. It's gotten that bad. Remember, his brother, Jordan, was on The Bachelorette with JoJo, and he was competing against 30 other guys, and somehow he finessed his way to the top, and they're still together. So a lot of those people usually, separate or get divorced or whatever. They waited a while. That was probably about four seasons ago. They got married. Aaron Rodgers wasn't there, and Jordan was a little tore up. According to U.S. Weekly, somebody said it's a sad situation for the family, especially for Jordan, who really does love his brother. Aaron misses out on his big day, and that's something Jordan is never going to forget. Jordan invited his entire family, including Aaron, even knowing he most likely wouldn't attend since they've been distant for a long time now.
See,
I can just say that's just too bad
business.
For that family. That's that family's business, but you know what? That's too bad.
Does seem kind of petty on Aaron Rodgers' part, but again, I don't know the whole dynamic of that family, what's gone on, what's led to this.
That is way too bad.
I can't imagine missing one of my brother's weddings or sister, but that's Aaron Rodgers, I guess. But by the way, coming up next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, is the match. Are we looking forward to the match? That's Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
Pig man thing playing?
No. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady will face Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes in a match of golf. Does anybody really want to watch that?
No.
Yeah.
Play that Southern Hills so we can really watch and have some fun.
Oh, tear those dudes up. Where are they playing this thing? I don't even know. Lake Tahoe.
Over
looks
at
like
Butler
here.
Pitch and putt.
It's like, no, not Lake Tahoe. I got to find where that. That's a week from tomorrow is when they're having that. But yes,
that truly is sad for his brother.
It is because
he's
family
because he's been invited to it, right? I mean, it wasn't that the brother didn't invite him, right? Obviously, he got invited.
Oh yeah,
and he just didn't
just
show.
Said, he was that's tore too, up about
that's
it.
That's terrible.
He didn't even RSVP. Come on, man. He said Zay must be in trouble. No, Zay's taking pizza to his wife's class for her birthday. What do you mean he's in trouble? Trying to cause trouble out there. Hey, we got headlines for you. We've also got to get into this Nick Saban story. I know the Jimbo Fisher clash was the story, but what he said and why what he says falls in line with what a prominent booster at the University of Miami says about what the NIL impacts could be and these collectives can be long-term on the sport of college football and in college athletics. We'll get into that a little deeper coming up. It's B&E on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.